on that. Okay.
While we're on that topic, on the one that ends in 1.000, it's 241 acres. That one is, okay, no, never mind. That must have been an older one.
Okay.
Yeah, I stand corrected.
It sounds like to me that your classification, at least with respect to that, is probably okay with you. It's just a question of whether you get the subsidy or whether it's a fair market.
Yes. Yes. It's classification inside of the ag as to whether or not you classify it as production value or not.
Okay.
That's our first point of contention.
All right. Well, we've been struggling with this, and I get tasked probably with a weekend spending my time doing legal research for the fund, because it's not just your property.
Right. I'm sure there's a lot of others.
Several other ones.
Yeah.
So
yeah. We're
trying to figure out what we do with this not necessarily unproductive, but property that's not producing, what
right.
we do with it. So you tell me what, as far as how you think it should be classified under the current regulations.
Our position is it should go back to the 2024, which I think is the state tax commission's production value for woods that maybe gets renewed in 2026.
Okay, is that a class 7, I think? Under
class 7 or?
Class 6 or 7. Okay, so you think that if they're woods, they would maintain an ag class 7?
Yes.
Okay.
That is correct.
And?
Which is, I think, around $73 an acre.
But what right. are you producing?
And well, we'll get to that.
We're gonna. I'll let you respond. I just want to. I'm going to walk through this so that I understand what your argument is. Okay. So, you would say that on all of the property, or is there some property that's being used for production?
None of it is being used for production right now. In lieu of production, it is in a carbon credit offset program.
The carbon credit?
Carbon credit offset
to
program.
Me on that.
So you're going to get to do some
okay.
research.
Okay.
So the owner has been approached many times about timbering the property.
Right.
Whether that be selective harvesting, which in most cases is what the market does. I'm not aware of, unless you get way over in southern, kind of southeast Missouri, that there's a whole lot of just timbering that goes on that just clears it all. There are some, but not in these parts that I'm aware of at all. The work I've done with it. It's selective harvesting. That's he could very well do that on these properties or on this property. He chose not to. He didn't want to disturb things. He appreciates conservation, and he had an opportunity to enter into what's called a carbon agreement, and that's with a group, and it's in the documents, or it's in my package. That's with a group out of, I think, either Fayetteville or Conway, Arkansas. Navistar, I believe, is their name, but there's various other ones around the country. And what they do is they create an agreement whereby you defer harvesting, you promote more vegetation in a controlled manner, so they have to do various things on the property to keep it undergrowth cleared and to promote more vegetation. And it's a method whereby there is primarily a voluntary market. It's an international market. A lot of it's driven by the European Union. Some of it's driven by the state of California. In some cases, there may be some EPA issues where you have a producer of carbons, whether it be a coal plant or somebody that's creating a lot of emissions, carbon emissions, to offset that, their emission production, some of which regulatory-wise are capped, to offset that, there's a program where they promote more trees, more vegetation as a way to allow the producers to get to buy offsets to equalize to where they're net zero. There are some companies out there, based on my research, I'm not up on this I didn't get up on this until Steve calls me and I go, you know, what is this? There are some companies that have what's called net zero goals, some of which they publish. So there's SEC oversight in that. And there
so
too.
You're saying a pig farmer in Christian County could buy a credit from him potentially?
If that pig farmer voluntarily wanted to be a net zero producer and or was under some regulation, which doesn't exist in Missouri. It exists in other states.
Right.
It exists internationally with the European Union. So, yes, I, you know, do I necessarily buy off on all that? I probably don't. Okay. But that the point that I'm making here is that this is a market reality. This is occurring out there.
Right.
And this owner decided to enter into such a program to defer any kind of harvesting. Now, there is in Section 138, and I cited in my packet, where you talk about production, where the state, I think it's 138.
And what is the meaning of production?
What is the meaning of production? And you've probably already been there.
Not necessarily, but I mean, this is definitely an interesting take on it.
And it speaks to, I'm sorry, it's 137. I'm in the wrong section. It speaks to the idea that if you're in a set-aside program, which used to be pretty common, CPR, maybe not as much in Taney County, but going back 20, 30 years, there were a lot of set-aside programs where you would end production on your land, set it aside, and you'd get, you know, payments from the government. But that language is, you know, strictly speaks to, you know, government programs.
Right.
And this is not a government program. You know, a strict construction of that statute would not get us inside of that language. And I, you know, I'll be frank with the board. It says what it says, and we're not that. Likely because what's going on here wasn't a thing when that statute was written.
Right.
But it's comparable. It's the same concept. You set aside a productive use, in this case would be timbering, and of course, you know, you gotta get into, well, if it's selective harvesting, what, you know, you do it maybe every 7 years, every 5 years, every 10 years. What, you know, my argument would be, well, that is production. Those trees are growing, and ultimately they're going to be harvested. It's just that they don't get produced or harvested every year. So I think that alone, now, you know, how do you measure that? Do you go back in time and try to show it? Do you, there's got to be a time frame, and I don't know what that time frame is, that would say, yeah, that qualifies as production because the trees, the market would harvest those trees at some point in time in most cases. Go ahead.
I was going to ask, but you've got the contract that he entered into to do this?
Yes.
This looks like it says guaranteed payment of future royalty. What is that?
Yes. So the way it works is this group will sell based on some calculation of how much carbon, I guess, the trees or the forest is absorbing. They've got some calculation. Okay. I don't know it. But that's conceptually how it works. They'll sell those credits, and then the royalty is the percentage of the credits that they sell. And okay, that amount is, I think, starts at 30%. If you do a deferred harvest program, which Steve has done, I think it grows as much as 40 to 50%.
Is that for keeping it untimbered? Or
yes, that is for not harvesting it and keeping it managed and maintained as a forest.
Okay.
Just like the national forest for the most part. I mean, so if you, in this packet, I did submit his 2024 1099. So the owner, MBSS, and that's on page 17 of my packet, they did receive $81,366.60 in 2024 from Navistate LLC, which is the party they entered into this carbon set aside. Carbon credit set aside. No, carbon credit offset. Okay. So that is in lieu of production that one would have received had they not entered into, or would have received if they went through some kind of a selective harvesting program. So it's, our position is it's comparable. It doesn't fit inside the language of that statute, it's the same.
Use of timbering.
Yeah, in use of timbering. So that's point number one. We think in light of that fact, in light of the fact that there's an agreement out there, that there's been monies received, and obviously, you know, we're looking at an assessment of nearly $16 million. Well, I can whip you out the calculation, but the return of $80,000 on $16 million is, you know, I don't think anybody's going to jump all over that. But which gets you back to, you know, the subsidy. Why is there a subsidy in any egg production? Well, because, you know, we favor production and we favor, you know, people having the ability to produce things. And as a matter of public policy, I think this fits in that same spirit, although it doesn't fit inside the strict language of the statute. So that's our point.
Okay.
Point one, that we think it needs to go back to its ag production values comparable to what existed in 2024.
Okay.
Anything else on that point?
No, it looks like,
you know, the document.
I've got a, on the appeal sheet here, it says $1.8 million. Was that, I guess when I was asking you before, is that adding up the entire track there? Is that what that is?
Well, I had.
It says the part of the property that was subject to the appeal.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I had us at $671,854. So I don't know if that would be on the summary sheet of
the
assessment.
Well, that's what you are asking for?
Yes.
Okay.
We're asking you to go back to the 2024. Maybe I made a mistake. Oh, that's the purchase price of that other component that he bought.
Okay. The other component.
Well, that's he bought, I think, 1,400 acres. I've got the comp. I'll get to that on third point.
Okay.
I'll bring that back into it.
Okay, go ahead.
He bought, of this 300 acres, he bought some acreage in the last couple of years.
Okay.
So that's what I was reflecting there.
All right.
So the value we want to go back to is the 2024 values that are shown on that summary table attached to the application.
Okay.
So anything else on point one?
I don't think I have any question on that. Go ahead.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
So now you're saying you're selling carbon credits, so that would make you a commercial entity then, right? So the land should be commercial?
Well, we're not selling carbon credits. We entered into a program with an entity that sells carbon credits in lieu of production,
I think he's also arguing that it may be the antithesis of timbering, and timbering is not, even though you're making money off of timbering, you're not a commercial venture. You're still ag.
You're still ag.
I think that's what he's trying.
And it's in lieu of timbering.
And that's what he's arguing.
I mean, $80,000 on a $15 or $16 million number would not constitute a commercial enterprise. If it does, we're in trouble.
Well, and a farm is trying to make money. So I mean, you could argue that they're a commercial enterprise. A farm is trying to make money, but that doesn't mean that they're given a credit.
The minute he mentions the European Union and California, that immediately says to me that this is a scam that Missouri doesn't want to be part of.
Well, it's a market reality. It's a market reality. You may not agree with it. I don't agree with it. But it's a market reality. It is what it is.
Okay, so this is basically a program that's been, I get the argument. I guess what I was asking the assessor's office is, do you have questions?
Do you have any agriculture going on? Do you have
In our view,
pigs, do you have any equipment you're using to work?